If there was any doubt about how far the Trump administration would go on its war on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI programs, my next guest will provide some troubling context. My guest is Jennifer Smith Richards. She's a reporter with ProPublica, which is a nonprofit newsroom that investigates abuses of power. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Well, you co-wrote a story titled Programs for Students with Hearing and Vision Loss Harmed by Trump's Anti-Diversity Push. What did your reporting reveal?
Well, most of us have seen stories and news over the past few months that the Trump administration has been combing through grants and contracts and weeding out those that it views as advancing diversity initiatives. And what we found in this story is that there has been a new wave of grant cancellations that are targeted specifically to programs that serve deafblind students. Those are students who have both hearing and vision impairments.
Now, when you say deafblind, is that one word?
It's one word, yes. It's one word, and it signifies that both of those disabilities are in play, and it means those students are typically more complicated, more complex to serve in a school district.
Okay, so that's a classification of types of students that actually need this kind of funding. How much money is going to these programs?
So this is sort of a surprising thing. A lot of the programs that have been targeted by the Trump administration have been, you know, some of them have been big dollar programs. This is not one of them. In total, the grants that are being canceled that are related to deafblind services get to about $1 million a year. So that's $1 million a year in federal money that's considered really vital to these small programs, serving a relatively small number of students, but who very much need these types of services.
Do you know how many students?
Well, so what we know is a count right now of how many students generally are served across the country through these types of projects, these deafblind network projects. It's about 10,000 students, right? In Oregon, what we're talking about is about 114 students that are being served, and the dollar amount is only about $134,000. So this is the cancellation of, you know, grants that are extremely consequential to these students and to these organizations. But, you know, in the scope of the federal budget and, you know, the amount of federal funding that is being you know, spent on these projects, it's actually quite small.
Okay, so that sounds like pennies. But what's the rationale for the Department of Education stopping these funds?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I mean, we've seen lots of talk about DEI, right? And what we know is that the federal government has been combing through and searching through grant applications, contracts, and, you know, documents that they have at the federal government to try to weed out projects that it views as, you know, having something to do with equity, having something to do with diversity, having something to do with inclusion. And so for some of these projects that are now being, their funding is being canceled, what has happened is there's been maybe a statement about, you know, hiring intentions that says, hey, we're going to hire people from diverse backgrounds. We're going to hire women. We're going to hire military veterans. And in some cases, what it seems like has happened is that the federal government has reviewed the grant application that was originally submitted and found words like transition or privilege. And that may have flagged the grant. Now, anybody who knows anything about serving students with disabilities knows that transition is an incredibly common word to be in a student's individualized education plan because they have to create a plan for the student to transition from school to life after school to adulthood. So words like that are, you know, embedded in many of the grant applications. And we know that in Wisconsin, that seems to be something that was flagged to the federal government.
So this may sound speculative. But it seems like, and I don't know this, and I'm wondering if your reporting can shed any light on it, it seems like that the population of people in the federal government who are making these decisions based on some criteria that they have determined at the federal level to use, it seems like that population is probably less diverse.
It could be, but the truth is that we don't know exactly who is making the decisions. We know that the notifications for these particular grant cancellations were sent out from the U.S. Department of Education, right? They came, you know, is led by Linda McMahon. But we don't really know sort of every person involved in sifting through these grants and looking for those DEI sort of buzzwords. Our reporting doesn't show, you know, who is making the decisions, and therefore we don't really know, what their diversity situation may be. But it's an interesting question.
So how many total programs are affected nationwide, and where are the programs located?
Yeah, so these are five. There are five programs, and some of them operate in networks. So what we're talking about is networks across eight states. There are deafblind projects in every state, and so some of the programs are not affected at all. But some of the programs that are affected are quite large. Like one of them is based in New England and serves a number of states. So it can be really consequential for those programs.
Right. My guest is Jennifer Smith Richards, a reporter with ProPublica. She co-wrote the article, Programs for Students with Hearing and Vision Loss Harmed by Trump's Anti-Diversity Push. Were you able to talk with the leaders of the students here in Oregon about the impact of this loss?
I believe that we did, and I co-wrote this story with my reporting partner, Jody Cohen. And we were able to talk to folks across the country, including in Wisconsin. We did speak with folks in Oregon. It matters very, very much to these individual programs, including in Oregon. Your project is based in Portland. And it matters very, very much to the educators who are teaching deafblind students back in their school districts, and that those could be statewide. So one of the things that your project does, and most of these projects do, is offer teacher training. It's a very specialized skill set to learn how to work with a student who has both hearing and vision impairments. And so a lot of the work they do is teaching things like haptics. Like, Mike, you know when your phone buzzes and you can feel it buzz? Mm-hmm. There's technology and communication tools that are used very specifically with deafblind students. And these projects, like the one in Oregon, are very highly skilled at teaching that technology to the educators who are working directly with students. So it's really, again, the work that they do is very specialized, very unique, and very important to this complex group of students.
Well, you mentioned in your report the Oregon Deaf Blind Project. Why was it on the target list? Do you know?
Well, what we know is that the application that was given to the federal government for this funding back in 2023 included a statement about a commitment to address inequities, racism, and bias, and the marginalization of disability groups. And it also had attached a strategic plan for Portland Public Schools, which is where the project is headquartered, that mentioned establishing a Center for Black Student Excellence. So that is unrelated to the Deafblind Project, but because it is housed there at the school district, it was included. And so when the Education Department issued letters to projects, including, and this came to Oregon, what it said was those initiatives are, quote, in conflict with agency policy and priorities.
The Center for Black Student Excellence is in conflict with the priorities of the federal administration?
That's right. And commitments in general to address inequities like racism and bias.
Is there an assumption that systemic racism has magically disappeared or never existed in the first place?
I think what we have learned from some of the public statements and long-held beliefs of some of the people in the Trump administration, many don't believe that systemic racism indeed exists. And so it is in conflict with agency priorities to be teaching concepts like systemic racism in schools.
Well, that's good insight. What's the reaction from the people who care for these students?
They're very worried. They're fearful, right, of not having this money. It is, again, you know, as we said at the top, a small amount of money, really, in the grand scheme of the federal government's budget, but so very vital to these projects. And so they're worried about what's going to happen next year. Some of them are worried to speak out because they do have the opportunity right now to appeal the grant cancellation and try to get some of that funding back. And some of them have indicated that they will try to do that. But they are very worried about their ability to serve the students and the educators who need their help.
Are there other options for other funding streams?
No, I don't know the answer to that. It could be that some of the projects may have access to additional state funding. It may be that private funders could step in. But ultimately, you know, these projects very much rely on the help of the federal government.
Your report included the Education Department's statement, quote, "We are evaluating every federal grant to ensure they are in line with the administration's policy of prioritizing merit, fairness, and excellence in education," end quote. Have you been able to determine what that means in the funding evaluation process?
We know through these particular grants and from others that have been canceled that the inclusion of words like inclusion, equity, diversity, having programs that are meant to provide equitable services to, for example, Black students, Latino students, Native American students, that those types of initiatives that are targeted toward a specific student group have not been acceptable to the administration. And so, in general, those are the ones that are being targeted.
So have federal funders provided details of their criteria that they're using so that people who are receiving these funds or expect to receive these funds can meet the standards of merit, fairness, and excellence?
That's a great question. There haven't been a lot of grant openings that have come from the department to even, you know, offer the details of what it is that they're looking for. I do think it's important to note that these particular grant applications were submitted during the Biden administration. And during the Biden administration, there was a requirement to speak about the diversity initiatives that you have and to include details of how you plan to include people with disabilities and people of color in your work. And so that's why many of these deafblind projects even had any statements about diversity or inclusion or equity. So I think what we know about grants going forward is that diversity, equity, inclusion, not a priority, and more than likely should not be, part of a grant application should you want to get federal funding
administration. It sounds like these innocent kids have been caught up in a political battle. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. Thanks for covering this issue.
My pleasure.